What sin are you battling today? Is it anger, fear, worry, lust? Well, allow me to diagnose your sin problem today on Breaking It Down with Brother Ron.
Let's do this, Johnny!
Welcome to the Breaking It Down podcast. I'm Brother Ron, your host, and each week I bring you the inspired Word of God as we together discover and unlock its life's transforming truths. Thanks for listening in. Well, hello, 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 brothers and sisters, saints and aints. That's right, it's me, yours truly, Brother Ron, or B-Ron for short. And welcome to another episode here of Breaking It Down with Brother Ron. Well, yo! Hold on a second. Yeah, I think it's Brother Man. Yeah, Brother Man, what's up? Yo! Yeah, what's up, man? What's going on? How you doing? What's going on, man?
Yo, I
hope you hear me, too, because we got a subject just for you, Brother Man, today. But as I was saying before, I was so rudely interrupted by Brother Man there. Our topic for today, or for this show, and however many shows the Holy Spirit leads me, I'm not going to get off this topic until the Holy Spirit says so. I say that, but every topic I discuss, y'all should know that by now. But today, we're going to talk about sanctification. Some other words for that is holiness. Oh, yeah, I know you're liking these words. You know, by the way, why are Christians so afraid of that word? Many Christians are afraid of that topic, holiness. When we start getting that, I can hear the old lords out there already from you out in the audience. They're like, oh, Lord, he's going to be getting on us about, I don't know, going to the movies. You know, the old school, old church, going to the movies, wearing makeup, all that. No, I'm not talking about that. Can't drink and all. No, I'm not going there. I'm going approaching it from a different angle that most of you probably heard it, sermons preached on holiness. But I just want to point out that there's a statement that goes something like this, pretty much, that if Christians were as afraid of sin as they are of holiness, it would be a beautiful thing. Isn't that true, y'all? Somehow, Christians, most Christians, don't like that term or the word holiness. So before we get any further into this, let's open up in a bit of prayer. Heavenly Father, open our eyes to behold and see the wonderful truths in your word today. Let your Holy Spirit take them and make them real and living in our hearts and lives. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to be our teacher today. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Our scripture passage for today is coming from the book of Colossians. Book of Colossians, chapter 3. And we're going to begin reading, put in at verse number 5 and 6, verses 5 through 6. And again, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 reads, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience." And let me read that over in the New Living Translation, the NLT version, Colossians 3 and 5. "So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming." Now, I'd like to do a little review of the past couple of episodes or shows, and it ties into what we're going into today. So the last couple of episodes, we were looking on I Saw the Lord. We're talking about Isaiah and Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah goes into the temple when King Uzziah had died, and he experiences a vision of God, and he sees the Lord. Remember, he sees the Lord lifted up, sitting on the throne. His robes filled the temple. And then we talked about the seraphim, the angelic seraphim, calling out to each other about God's holiness, crying, "Holy, holy, holy." Recall that. Then we see that Isaiah was overwhelmed by his sin, his uncleanliness. He says, "Woe to me, for I'm undone." And then one of the seraphim, they take a hot coal off the altar, and they touch the coal, the burning coal, to the lips of Isaiah, which is symbolizing his sin being atoned for. And we talked about that, how Christ atoned for our sins a little bit. And then Isaiah volunteers after he's cleansed to go. The Lord says, who will go for us? And Isaiah says, here I am, send me. And he volunteers on behalf of the Lord to go preach and be a prophet to the dull hearts and the sinful hearts of the children of Israel. And now I want to pick up from there. And we're going to dive deeper into the holiness piece here. When Isaiah was cleansed of his sins, when he was sanctified by one of the seraphim. So we saw in Colossians, our passage for today, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, says, again, therefore put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, so on. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. So Isaiah was undone when he saw the glory and holiness of the Lord, and his sin was evident before him because he was in the presence of the Lord. And today, each and every one of us, Christians, non-Christians, saints, and ain'ts, we're all experiencing this battle with sin. We are in this battle with sin, whether it be anger, fear, worry, lust, pride, rebellion, or just a lack of desire to serve. And we're going to diagnose that problem to you. And let me diagnose it right now. You know why we have this battle with sin? Anyone, take a guess. Anyone? Bueller? I'm going to stop using that. It's so overplayed. But anyway, our problem with sin has to do with the low view we have of God. Today, I think in the church, the Christian church, the biggest problem is a lack of holiness, a lack of sanctification, a lack of separateness. What else do you want? The lack of consecration. You know, we have the holiness churches out there. One of the big ones is the Church of God in Christ. I listen to a Church of God in Christ or Kojic Bishop every Sunday. Bishop Patrick L. Wooden Sr. out there in Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. And his church, by the way, is the Upper Room Church of God in Christ. And he has his services online on YouTube, so check it out. Bishop Wooden, Upper Room Church of God in Christ. And I believe the name of his show is, his YouTube channel is the official God First channel, or something along that line. But look, do a search, Google him, and you'll see he's got great messages out there. But anyway, I digress. So to get back on track, I want us to next take a look at some words here before we get into breaking it down deeper here. Words are sanctification, holiness, and consecration. These words mean the same thing. They're what they're called synonymous terms. So are the words sanctified and holy. To sanctify is the same as to make holy or to consecrate. So when I'm saying the word holy, using the word holy, I can also substitute the word sanctification or holiness in there. Right? We just saw that. Or sanctify, I'm sorry. So I could substitute sanctify for holy. But the word holy, I'm gonna read this from this book I have here. The word holy conveys the following ideas. First is separation. Holy is a word descriptive of the divine nature. Its root meaning is separation. Therefore, holiness represents that in God which makes him separate from all that is earthly and human, namely his absolute moral perfection and divine majesty. So when the Holy One wills to use a person or object in his service, that is when God wants to use a person, he separates that person or if it's a thing from common use. And by virtue of this separation, the person or object becomes holy. So what we're trying to say here is that to be holy means to be separated or separated from something and then dedicated to something, separated from something unto something else. Okay. There's two parts here. So for the Christian, the separation comes from when we're sanctified by God or made holy or cleansed by God, we're separated from sin. So that's the first part, separation from sin. But now that we are separated from sin as we become a born-again believer and we're washed in the blood of Jesus, Now that we're separated from our sin, we have to be separated unto or to something else. You can't have one without the other. The negative pieces, okay, we're being taken out of this world. We're separated from the world. We're separated from sin in the world. But now what? What's the purpose of that? Well, now that we're separated from sin, we're now dedicated or separated to God for his service and use. That's the positive side. So the negative, we're separated from our sins. But now that we are separated from sin, or sins plural, we are now dedicated or pointed to God for his use and service. And we saw that with Isaiah when he saw his sin and he was cleansed by the seraphim. Now he was ready to do service unto God, to be used by God. So just to break it down for you one more time, our condition as believers is that we're separated from sin and the world, and then we're made partakers of the divine nature of God. And then we're consecrated to the fellowship and service of God through Jesus Christ. So that's, again, it in a nutshell. From sin, dedicated, separated from sin, dedicated to God. Now let's jet back over into Colossians here. And we put in at verses 5 and 6. I want to pick back up at verse 7. And let's start from the beginning. I'll read it from 5. So therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. That's mankind. Verse 7, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. So as a believer, or as believers, as saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost people, we practice, those of us who know the Lord, at one time practice some of these sins. I'm not saying which, all these particular sins, or which particular sin. You know what you were into before you got saved. And some of you are saved and still doing these things, but that's we'll broach that subject at a later time. But anyway, we know that we were practicing sin. We had sin in our lives. And again, I said, I hope you're not doing them, but there's those out there doing them. And the Word of God commands us to be holy. Let's turn over to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, we're going to be looking in chapter 1. Get there with you. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to put in at verse 15. Verse 15 says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And that comes out of the book of Leviticus. So let's turn over to Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. You there yet? All right. Verse 44 reads, I am the Lord your God. I'm sorry. Let me get back in my King James version. Okay. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. And let me read what I was reading from early in the NLT version. It says, verse 44, for I am the Lord your God, you must consecrate. There's that word consecrate. And we saw minutes ago, that consecrate, holy, sanctification, the similar terms, similar words mean the same thing. So for I am the Lord your God, and you must consecrate or separate yourselves and be holy, because I'm holy. So remember, we saw Isaiah in the presence of God, and he says, woe is me, for I am undone. And he saw the holiness of the Lord. So in order to deal with the sin problem, as I said at the beginning, we have to have a higher view of God. And that's what's lacking in the body of Christ. We kind of see God as our, I like to call him, I don't know, our Walmart in the sky, or Costco in the sky. We go to him for things, which he wants to do. I'm not faulting that. God wants us to come with our petitions, our requests for things. But that shouldn't be our primary or sole reasoning or purpose for God, but it's to see him in all his fullness of glory as much as we can on this side of the cross, this side of heaven, We won't able to be see that full glory until we're there before him in heaven. But anyway, back on track. It's our viewer God that helps us fight the sin problems that we deal with from day-to-day basis as Christians. I'm not talking about unbelievers right now. I'm specifically speaking to the believers, the saints. And a lot of us, well, we say, oh, I slipped, I messed up, I want to do better. And the solution is not to focus on not sinning or trying harder to be holy. And that's where a lot of the problems come into church today. And a lot of Christians cringe at the terms or the use of the word holiness is because we're focusing on trying to fix it ourselves. And we can't. We try hard. We say, I'm not going to do that again. But we stumble and fall. And we keep trying. And we just can't, whatever that particular sin or sins is, we just seem to can't get past it. No, that's the problem. We need to not try to do it ourselves because we can't. But we need to start with God. We need to fix our eyes on God. We need to raise our view of who God is and all that he encompasses. It's only then we can start dealing with the sin problems we have in our life. Now, turn with me, if you will. We're going to go over to the book of 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to put in a chapter 4. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 3. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, and it reads, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness." And then verse 8 says, "Therefore he rejects, this does not reject man, but God. Therefore he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, and who has also given us his Holy Spirit." So this is a plea for holy living, to live lives that are pleasing to God, to be separated, like I said earlier, separated from the sin and world, and turn to or dedicated to God and service for God. Let me read that in the NLT version, the same passage, beginning at verse 3. God's will is for you to be holy, right? Separated, set apart. So stay away from, and says, list all these sins, sexual sin. Then verse 4, "Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and his ways." Now, you can say, "Brother Ron, you just told us that we can't make ourselves live holy, but you just read here in the NLT version that each of you will control his own body." Okay, what they're trying to say there is that by us yielding ourselves, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, who lives in me, and this life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. As we yield or turn ourselves over to God, just like we saw in Isaiah 6, what Isaiah did, as we surrender ourselves to God and allow him to control us, then our bodies are controlled, and he takes care of the sin problem. And you know, basically, let me put it to you this way. Once you're in the presence of God, first of all, we have to press in on God, right? We got to press in toward him. We got to seek him. We got to follow hard after him, get to know him, get in his presence as Isaiah did. Once we get a good glimpse, I talked about our low view, a higher view of God, that's when we're saturated with his glory, his majesty, his holiness, right? Then, just like Isaiah, then the desire to sin goes away, melts away, right? You're in the presence of God. You no longer want to sin, but you want to serve him and dedicate yourself to him. And that's how it works. We're so busy, and I include myself in this as other Christians, we're so busy trying to not sin, to not fall. Let me just clarify something I said earlier. I said, you know, we have Christians out there who are sinning. I'm not talking about those which we do from time to time. We sin and then we repent. We take those sins before the Lord and confess them and repent. I'm talking about the Christians, the saints out there who are habitually sinning, whatever that sin or sins are, that know it's wrong, but they continually to do it, whether it's getting drunk or sexual immorality or theft or lying or gossip, whatever the sins are, those who are habitually practicing them, all right? That's what I'm talking about, those who are still out there doing it. Well, I'm not talking about the Christian that's living for God and stumbles every now and then, as we so do, because we still are living in these fleshly tabernacles, right? These human bodies of flesh. I'm going to talk about that in the upcoming show. Probably the next show, we're going to get further into this topic, and I want to delve into Romans chapter 8 and probably chapter 6 and 7 also. But we're going to be going there next on the same topic, dealing with sanctification, holiness, consecration. But as I was saying, God calls us to live holy lives, right? We see that here in 1 Thessalonians 4, 7 and onward. We saw it in Leviticus 44 that God commands us to be holy because he is holy. I want to turn to another verse here. Let's turn over to 1 Peter. Did we go there already? I don't think so. If we did, we're going back there, right? 1 Peter. I'm going to look at chapter 1, 1 Peter 1, and we're going to pick it up at, what do I want to pick it up? Verse 15, 1 Peter 1 and verse 15. And it reads, "But as he who called you is holy," it's talking about God, he's the he there, and your version should have a capital H for him, for he, because that's God, but so I'm going to put God in there. "But as God who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy." Yeah, we did read that because we jumped over to Leviticus from that point. That's all right. It doesn't hurt y'all. We can read it again. All right. So let's go back up to the verse 13. "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his second coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance." Okay, and that's verses 13 and 14. And then it goes into what we just read, verses 15 and 16. And that version I was reading from was the NIV version of the Bible. All right, y'all, I want to wrap things up. We're getting a little long in the show here, and it's time. So I want to summarize, and we'll pick back up on this topic next week. And I said, we'll deal with it as long as the Holy Spirit leads me to deal with it. So number one, we saw in various scripture that God is holy. God is a holy God. And therefore, everything in the presence of God must be made holy. As we saw with Isaiah, once you get in the presence of God, if you're not holy, you're going to instantly be put to death. You're going to die. So to get into God's presence, which we need to do to deal with our sin problem, to get that, remember, that higher view of God, we have to be made holy. And the word of God, we saw, commands us to be holy. God says, be holy because I am holy. So we must be holy because God is holy. And complete holiness should be the desire and want or duty of every born-again believer in Christ. That should be our number one desire. Well, I should say, it's right up there, either one or two, with seeking God or being in God's presence. So yeah, holiness will come first, because you're not going to get into his presence unless you're separated, sanctified, separated, set apart, holy. All those words meaning the same thing as we discussed earlier. That's the key there. So next week, we're going to pick up on this topic more on holiness, sanctification. We're going to discuss how it's a twofold thing. Once you're saved as a believer, you're sanctified because of the blood of Christ, shed blood, because of the shed blood of Christ on the cross. You're positionally sanctified. And then also that sanctify is a continuous process throughout your Christian life. So you're sanctified because once you're saved, you're sanctified because of the work of Christ on the cross. But then it's an ongoing process of sanctification, daily sanctification in your life. And we're going to break that down for you next week here on Breaking It Down with Brother Ron. Well, how's everybody doing out there? You all okay? I know it's a tough topic. Holiness, sanctification, consecration, whatever word you want to use. It's one topic or term that many Christians are afraid of, and Lord knows the unbelievers are afraid of. But you'll be okay. You know, hold my hand. We'll walk through this together. And you're going to be blessed once we come out on the other side of it. So anyway, let me wrap things up by saying this. You know, I ask two things of you each and every show. First, pray for me and the show as I pray for you. And when you're praying, ask God that he would use me to spread his word, to break it down, make it simple for people to apply to their everyday lives and situations. And also pray that he will spread this show, spread the word of this show, so others may join into our family and listen. And you can play a role in that family by you leaving comments on whatever podcast platform you're listening to the show on, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google Cast, Spotify, whatever, a plethora of platforms out there. Leave comments about how you like the show, what it's done for you. Give it a high rating, 5 stars, 4 stars, whatever that platform has. And that helps because they look at the algorithm, they being Google or whoever, look at the algorithms. And if they see that, the show's getting good ratings and it's popular, they are going to promote it and highlight it. And I don't know how all that works yet, but it'll get more play and more people will be hearing the word of God. So in a nutshell, pray for me, pray for the show that God will use it to reach out and minister to those who are saved and unsaved. But in the meantime, you all be good out there. Pray for you. Pray for me. And may the Lord protect you and keep you until we meet again next week here on Breaking It Down with Brother Ron. All right, y'all. Peace. I'm out. See ya.